Yeah, we got two things left, and I think they're both pretty brief. Willie and Josh Cleveland, can you give us an update on what's going on in the parks here locally? I think we get out yesterday. Some did yesterday. You got to see the new shop and stuff, and I'll let these guys fill you in on the rest of the things that are going on locally.
Good morning, Chair, Commission, Secretary Hepler. Willie Collignon, Regional Supervisor for the Northeast Portion Parks here in South Dakota. I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to give you a tour of the park and reintroduced to Pelican Lake Recreation Area. And had the opportunity to walk through our new department shop facility out there in the park. Thanks for taking that time. With me today, I've got Josh Cleveland. He's our District 3 supervisor for the Watertown area parks, which include Pelican, Sandy Shore, Lake Cochrane, and Hartford Beach. So Josh is going to tell us a bit about the parks under his supervision.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, thank you. I've got a presentation here about what we've got going on in the Watertown area parks. All the pictures that I have on the presentation are from our parks, so we do a lot of programming. I'll touch on that in a little bit, but some pictures of things that we've done in the last year. One of the programs that we like to do every year, we do an Easter program out at the park on the left there. When we're not covered in snow, a couple years ago we actually had about 350 people come out to our Easter program, which is pretty impressive in Northeast South Dakota to get that to happen. So District 3, like Willie said, we have four state parks: Pelican Lake Recreation Area, which we toured yesterday, Sandy Shore, which is on the south side of Lake Compesca, Lake Cochrane, about 40 miles east of here, just south of Gary, and then Hartford Beach State Park, which is 50 miles northeast of here on Big Stone Lake. We also have a nature island in the district, Big Stone Island Nature Area, which is an undeveloped island on the lake. All four of the parks that we have in our district are A-rated, which is pretty impressive. I know that's one of the goals in our strategic plan, so we're glad to hit that. We've been providing what the users like. In the district, 2019, camping was up a little bit, visitation was up 6%, revenue, you can see we've come close to that $500,000 mark between the four parks, which is also up just under 1%. We are if not the only district in the state that is actually up in all three of those categories this year, which is pretty impressive. I know we've battled flood issues as well up here in the Northeast, but our users are still coming out. And we also have 66 public water access areas that we maintain out of our district in the surrounding seven counties. Programs, like I mentioned, are one of the big things that we do in the parks. Just this year alone, we have held 135 programs that have seen 5,180 people attend. A lot of our programs that we have are about South Dakota's wildlife habitat. Do a lot of programs on outdoor skills, cooking, hiking, winter survival. Archery is a big one with the archery range that we have out in the park. We also borrow a wildlife step outside trailer and do archery programs. We held a program over at the Redlands Center, an archery program, worked with them for that. And then we do a lot of fishing programs as well. So at Pelican Lake Recreation Area, we have 76 campsites, 6 equestrian sites, and 2 cabins. We have 2 trail systems. One is a multi-use trail, which is 4.4 miles, runs through a lot of native prairie and rangeland. That's an equestrian trail that also gets used for hiking, biking. And then we have an observation trail, which is a one-mile trail that winds through pollinator plots and out to an observation tower on the lake. The archery range that we have an archery range where you can shoot from the ground or for an elevated platform out to 70 yards. And we also have a 14-target course that winds through the prairie that is NFA approved for tournaments. We actually had the archery club from Millbank come down and work with archers from Watertown and do a league this summer out there. Also did have the opportunity to use Pittman Robertson funds to purchase 3D targets this year and place those out along the archery course as well. And that was a very big draw this late summer and fall as we got close to archery season. We do a lot of habitat work out at the park between the park and Thompson's Point Lakeside Use Area. We have 510 acres of habitat that includes 13 acres of pollinator plots. We have a shoreline restoration. We have native prairie, we have prairie restoration, wetlands, woodlands. We work with the Wildlife Division quite a bit on the management of those. They come out and help us burn a portion of the park every year, and in return we help them burn some areas on game production areas. On that Thompson's Point Lakeside use area, we're working on improving that landscape. We talked about that yesterday on our tour. But we work with the Wildlife Division on establishing a buffer strip around the lake and a wetland down there. It's 3/4 mile long, and then on the outside of that buffer strip, we planted a 6-row tree belt. Wildlife helped us plant both of those, and we're looking to use that as examples for landowners if they have questions, or we can show people what a good buffer strip is, what a good tree belt is. Let's see. And then we talked about our Joint Parks Wildlife Shop building yesterday. We're out there on that tour. A couple other things we've got going on. We're currently renovating our comfort stations, make those nicer for the public, and replacing the dump station in the next year. The one we have right now isn't large enough for the use that we get, so that'll be a nice upgrade for the park. We've got a picture up here of what the course looks like in the spring before some of our grass comes back. Top right there, we've got our shoreline restoration plot, and one of our campsites and our fishing pier that gets a lot of use. And then some pictures of some habitat work. On the top right there, we have a picture of one of our pollinator plots that we have in the park. And the shop building, some construction pictures. Those are already outdated. Those of you that were there yesterday saw a number of crews working hard on that. Do you have any comments to add to the shop?
Just that, you know, this was original of phase one of where we started for this complex. I think some of you were in that conversation a number of years ago. This is where we've gotten, and this project here is scheduled to near completion here about December 1st. So hopefully we can start moving some staff and work in this facility here for this winter. So,
thanks, Willie. Sandy Shore Recreation Area, just a few miles down the road. It does not look like that today. A little cold out there. But this is one of my favorite pictures of the beach. I mean, what we do with our job is providing opportunities for the public to come out and to see that many people enjoying the park, having a good time. It's pretty rewarding. Small park, 17 campsites, 2 cabins. We did do a large renovation in 2016-17. We built a new comfort station. The old one had been there since the 60s and was along the lake. We moved that off the lake, and while we were doing that, the original campground had 12 campsites that were just in a grassy area with some electric pedestals out there. We converted those into 8 modern campsites where we got gravel, upgraded electrical. And then we also had 6 tent sites along the lake that we converted into 4 gravel campsites. Quite interestingly, dropping from 23 total sites to 17 total sites, our camping actually increased 6% the following year. We provided nicer amenities, and the people responded by coming to those. We added cabins in 2018. Unfortunately, we haven't had full seasons with those yet, either the years with flooding impacting those sites. But hopefully, we're not going to deal with that next year and get a good full year of cabin use. Then we're working with the City of Watertown right now on the Compesca Bike Trail. The bike trail is currently on the north side of the lake. They're working on stages to get it around to the south side of the lake, and we're kind of the link that connects the two. And our goal is to have the trail come through the park and highlight the park, be a destination for it there. We do have an area that we acquired about 10 years ago at Sandy Shore. We call the Addition. In the last few years, we've improved that by adding native grasses and forbs and doing some tree planting to get a natural area added to the park and have a hiking trail through there. Some pictures of the park. Beautiful place. Again, more people that are loving life out on the lake there. And this picture on the bottom left is one of the campsites that we converted from a grassy tent site on the lake shore. Very popular. Lake Cochrane Recreation Area. This is the nicest little park nobody's ever heard of. It's one of our smallest parks in the system. It's 30 acres. We have 30 campsites over there, 1 cabin, a beach. It's only a mile from Minnesota. It's actually always one of the top weekend occupancy parks in the state. A few years ago, it was actually number one, having 99% occupancy throughout the summer on weekends. some pictures from the park there again. And Hartford Beach State Park. This is one of the original state parks that was established in 1945. 86 campsites, four cabins. The beach and picnic area is very popular. It's a huge draw to the park. There was actually a town that was established down in the Dayuse area in the mid-1800s, and a resort was established at that time. The town burned down except for that resort, and then when the parks acquired it, that resort was knocked down. But people have been coming to that area for recreation use since the mid-1800s. We've got trails. The prehistoric village trail winds up to a village that was occupied 10 to 15,000 years ago. We have trapper cabins in the park. We actually have burial sites, both burial mounds and grave sites from some of the trappers that were there in the late 1800s. Native Americans actually held powwows at their burial grounds up until the early 1900s. The park is on Big Stone Lake, which is a world-class perch fishery. They also have numerous tournaments for walleyes and bass fishing. The park has been very busy again this fall with the perch bite. We've had days during the week in September and October where the parking lot was full of residents and non-residents out fishing. We're actually working up at Hartford Beach with one of the local archery clubs to get a archery course established out in the park. And we're looking to get that approved for next year, where we'd have a range to sight your bow in and then a 28-target walking course through the woods there. There we go. Some pictures of the park there. And then our public water access program. A number of our public water access areas are actually on wildlife-owned lands, on GPAs, or areas that are leased for access. Park staff maintains those. So basically, we take areas like this and turn them into areas like this. Some of our major tasks are installing docks in the spring, pulling docks in the fall, and rebuilding docks as we can to make sure those are in good use for the public. We rebuild buckled ramps in the spring up here in northeast South Dakota. We got a lot of ice that pushes those ramps or heaves those, so we have to make a list every spring of areas that we need to repair. And we also do our best to provide shore fishing access at those areas. Some examples up on the top left is an access that we built on Lynn Lake this year. That's a key access area with the muskies that are up in that lake. Top right's an example of a dock that we rebuilt one year. And then the bottom left, we actually held a training day for regional park maintenance staff on how to repair a buckled ramp. So on the left, we got some people working on that, and our finished product on the right. Got time for any questions you may have?
Questions? Comments? Commissioner Olson.
Thanks, Commissioner Olson. How's the fishing been?
Depends on the lake. So up on Big Stone, it has been phenomenal. People are catching limits in about an hour or two. So if you're looking for a place to ice fish, be a good spot to start.
Any others? Questions? Comments? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good report. Number 28.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler. We'll finish the day here with the Parks Revenue and Visitation Report.
We only have 39 minutes.
39? Okay, I can do that. I can take this right up to noon if you like. No. Section 28 of the booklet there lists our October revenue and both for the month of October and year-to-date information there. Just a little bit of about October, it's kind of the last month of what we call our shoulder season that a lot of our summer-based activities extend into, such as camping, boating, and fishing and such. So we kind of look to September and October as when the weather's favorable, a lot of people still get out and enjoy the parks for those activities. This month, again, as the whole year is kind of disappointed with the weather, we did see some drops in camping and visitation in October again. And I think around October 10th, we had a significant snowstorm that blanketed most of the state with several inches of snow, and that really kind of put a damper on things. So we didn't get a whole lot of that type of activity, but nonetheless, it was a pretty good month. We ended the month about 8% down in camping, I believe, and so forth. So, you can see on item number 28B goes into detail on the camping for the year-to-date numbers. Those are kind of some of the numbers we follow pretty closely as an indicator how the summer goes. With the campings, we have a very good way of tracking camping numbers month by month basis, and also on a park by park basis. So you can kind of see throughout that list there, which ones are the parks, and it's probably not too hard to identify those parks that were most impacted by flooding there. You see, we ended the year this period 8% down from last year, about 28,000 camping units less than last year. If you go through and look at all those park districts that were directly impacted by flooding, both by damaged facilities and also loss of access, that amounts to about 21,000 camping units. So districts like District 1 up in the northeast, District 4, which would be the Ponset, Thompson, Oakwood District, District 5, the Lake Herman, Lake Madison District, and then couple districts along Lake Francis Case, District 6, which is the Snake and Platte Creek, and then District 10 is the North Point, Randall Creek areas. All those areas were the hardest hit by flooding this year. So if you add those up, that's about 21,000 camping units, which is about 75% of that 27,000 that we were down from last year. So if we had a normal year and didn't see those kind of loss of services or impacts to those parks, we'd probably be more in the 2-3% down from last year. So overall, it's a good year. And as John or Willie and Josh indicated here earlier, I mean, the district around Watertown had a pretty good summer. I think they were right on the numbers from last year. The Lewis and Clark district had a good year. They were about even from last year. And same with Custer State Park. So overall, a pretty good year considering everything we've been through. And we continue to monitor the flooding, and we'll be watching how much snow falls both here in South Dakota and all the way up to Montana, see how things are going to shape out for next year. Hopefully we can get ahead of a few things. Regarding, I know one of the biggest parks that's been impacted, obviously, is Randall Creek Recreation Area, where we lost a bridge that accesses that. We will be accepting bids for the replacement of that bridge next Thursday. So hopefully next Thursday we'll have a better idea about the cost and final schedule of restoring that bridge and restoring that park. So other than that, I guess that's all I have. I take any questions.
Questions, comments? I don't think so. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Any items anybody wants to make sure we get on the agenda next meeting? Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you. Commissioner Boyd here. In the last year or so, we made decisions that eliminated requirements for certain hunter safety training for archery, and I think also maybe the Hunt Safe program itself. So, and we did that because there are online training options or maybe other methods that I'm not knowledgeable about. But I would like to know how our training numbers have changed since that time.
Okay, I'll make sure it's on the list. Else? All right. We are Secretary Hepler.
No, I just want to thank the commissioners and Thanksgiving is coming up, and we've had some personal tragedies with some of our members in our GFME community in the last few days. So go home and enjoy your family and rest. Don't fall out of a tree stand this afternoon. We'd appreciate that. We don't need to add another one to it. But this has been a nice meeting because it's been more relaxed. We've had a chance to showcase, our staff showcase, the great presentation from the park side and the wildlife side. It's been enjoyable that way. So I appreciate, it's just nice to have a normal meeting for once. So thank you for that, and thank you, staff. You did an outstanding job.
Yep, I agree. We'll second that. Yay! All right, we're adjourned. We'll see everyone in December in Madison.